I am here, really. I kept taking criticism and joking because I got called into work a couple of times. And I, you know, on a more serious note about that, though, the Lord works in interesting ways because, I mean, I don't know, maybe the message I have tonight, that was the same message I was going to preach, well, maybe, I guess it was 5 weeks ago or so, somewhere in there. And I got called, literally, I mean, honestly, got called into work about an hour before I was supposed to leave for church for this meeting. But we were able to, we had to go in and clean the plants. And we had a big audit from a real important customer the next day, and my boss was kind of freaking out, and I was able to go in, worked all night, and we got the place ship shape, and everybody was really impressed, and he pulled me aside a little later. He says, you know, you don't know how important this is to everybody, the job you did, you know, getting this place straightened up. And, you know, most of you probably don't know where Cliff Star is down in Dunkirk, and it's a big plant, you know. It was a lot of work to do. Yeah, Tom's been there. And it's, you know, the Lord works funny. You know, maybe there was something in that message that I have tonight that somebody needed to hear tonight, you know, and they weren't here last time. I don't know. Who knows? But, you know, he works in mysterious and interesting ways. But I didn't help the plant manager out too much. He got fired about 2 weeks ago. But, oh, well. Anyways, I'd like to look at Joshua, book of Joshua, chapter 22. Last time I spoke, I used like a target verse, and I'm going to do that again. I kind of like to, seems at least the last couple of times to do that. I'm going to look at verse 5. This is probably nothing new to a lot of you, but I really like this verse, and there's five twos in verse 5. So read Joshua chapter 22, verse 5. But take diligent heed to do the commandment of the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you. To love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments, and to cleave unto him, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. And of course, the five twos are to love, to walk, to keep, to cleave, and to serve. We're going to look at each one of those. I'm going to leave love to the end. We'll go a little bit out of order. But I studied this quite a while ago, and really hadn't looked at it again until just recently, and started going over my notes again just before a meeting tonight. And a couple of new thoughts came to me, so we'll see where that goes, and hopefully I can't go too late because Jason and I worked on my boiler all day today, and he's coming over after so we can finish, so I can't go too long. But it was his choice, not mine. I was going to do it tomorrow, but anyways, to walk. To walk in all his ways. Everybody, I suppose, watches TV occasionally. I try not to really watch it too much, and with my work schedule, I don't get to watch it a lot, but which is probably a good thing. But if we, you know, if you see ads in the paper or on television today, you see so much of everything today is I, my, me. Everything's about myself. The ones that really kill me are the Botox commercials, you know. You know, Botox is, it's botulism toxin, you know, that they inject into a woman's face to help tighten up her skin. You know, it's a really disgusting facelift, you ask me, but, you know, it sounds kind of awful. But it's everything, you know, it's I did it for me, you know. And how do we walk? You know, what's our walk like in the world today? Are we more interested in what I look like or what I'm doing, you know, or is it what the Lord wants us to do? And think way back at the beginning, Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. And it's the fall of Adam and Eve. I've got quite a few scriptures tonight. If you, you know, want to follow along, that's fine. If not, I will just read them, a few here and there. But chapter 3 and verse 6 says, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Now, that's pride. I think walking today in the world, we can be dangerously close to walking in a prideful situation. It's very easy today because everything is focused on the individual. You know, what's right for me? You know, how dare you step on my, you know, turf? This is mine, you know. Everything is so possessive. And, you know, it's pretty much what Eve saw. She saw the fruit, you know, says, well, you know, God told us not to, but it, you know, serpent's here, and he's pretty smart. And he, you know, he's looking at it, and he says, there's nothing wrong with it. He says, you take that, and he says, you'll become as gods, knowing good and evil, you know. And I really think when man was created, he was intended, God intended to for us to learn all of that stuff at God's feet. Over who knows how long, it wouldn't have mattered. We were eternal. We were created to be eternal. But Eve saw a shortcut, and the serpent pointed it out to her. He says, you can become as gods right now. You can know what good and evil is. You know, I was thinking about this before. I was wondering when she took that back to Adam. You know, it doesn't say anything. It just says that he took it and ate it. But you almost got to think that there was a conversation there. You know, she says, where is this from? Oh, I took it off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Yeah, but we're not supposed to eat that. Yeah, but look at it. Look at how good it looks. And, you know, the serpent, the guy that's walking around and he was walking around at the time because the Bible tells us that on your belly you shall go after he curses him. You know, maybe even an argument, you know, a little bit between Adam and Eve. Well, we're really not supposed to do that. Yeah, but look at it. It's so good. You know, appealing to one's senses. And Adam caves and he says, well, okay. You know, forgive me if I'm being a little hypothetical, but, you know, I can't imagine that there wasn't a bit of conversation there before, you know, Adam just didn't take it and done. But anyways, it's pride, you know, and he saw that it was good and she saw that it was good and they took it and the rest is history. And here we are today as mortal beings, you know, dying and depending on the great grace of God and the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ to bring us back to where God intended for us to be in the first place. I think, you know, I think of pride, we go back to Isaiah chapter 14, and that's the fall of Satan. And that's, I'll look at that real quick, because I like the way that states it. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will be like the Most High. Five I wills, Satan says there. Pride. And it's the same very thing that he used to get to Adam and Eve. One of my favorite stories in the Bible is about David, and, you know, we can do things that we think are the Lord's will and the things that he wants us to do, and we might not be doing them the way we should, you know. We have to watch how we walk, too. We might not be, even if we're trying to walk for the Lord, we might be doing things our own way. So we look at 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles chapter 13. And this is the story, if I can find it. This is the story of the Ark of the Covenant being, David desired to bring it into Jerusalem, into the place that he had kept for it, or built for it. And I like the first verse. It says, and David consulted with the captains of thousands and hundreds and with every leader. Doesn't say anything about consulting God. He consulted the captains of thousands and hundreds and with every leader. And David said unto all the congregation of Israel, if it seem good unto you, and it be of the Lord our God, well, he kind of put that in there, let us send abroad unto our brethren everywhere that are left in the land of Israel, and with them also the priests and Levites which are in their cities and suburbs, that they may gather themselves unto us. And let us bring again the ark of our God unto us, for we inquired not at it in the days of Saul. And all the congregation said that they would do so, for the thing was right in the eyes of all the people. Okay, maybe they were, you know, they were trying to do the right thing. But it was right in their own eyes. So David gathered all Israel together from Sihor of Egypt, even unto the entering of Hamath, to bring the ark of God from Kirjath-Jearim. And David went up and all Israel to Baala, that is to Kiriath-Jearim, which belonged to Judah, to bring up thence the ark of God, the Lord, which dwelleth between the cherubim, whose name is called on it. And they carried the ark of God in a new cart out of the house of Amminadab, and Uzzah and Ahio drave the carts. And if we look back in Numbers, you know that the Levites were supposed to carry, they were supposed to bear the ark on the staves that, as Moses commanded. So here they are, two guys driving this cart with the ark on it. And David and all Israel played before God with all their might, and with singing and with harps and with psalteries and timbrels and cymbals and with trumpets. And when they came unto the threshing floor of Kidon, Uzzah put forth his hand to hold the ark, for the oxen stumbled. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and he smote him, because he put his hand to the ark, and there he died before God. And David was displeased, because the Lord made a breach upon Uzzah, wherefore the place is called Perez Uzzah unto this day. And David was afraid of God that day, saying, how shall I bring the ark of God home to me? So David brought not the ark home to himself to the city of David, but carried it aside into the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. And the ark of God remained with the family of Obed-Edom in his house 3 months, and the Lord blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that he had. David wanted to do the right thing, but he did it the wrong way. He erred in the fact that he didn't carry the ark the right way. He didn't really inquire of God. He asked all his buddies what we should do. And Uzzah died as a result of going against God's will. Now, if you look at chapter 15, I'm not going to read the whole thing there because it's pretty long, but just a few verses. It says in verse 1, and David made him houses in the city of David, and prepared a place for the ark of God, and pitched for it a tent. Then David said, none ought to carry the ark of God but the Levites. For them hath the Lord chosen to carry the ark of God and to minister unto him forever. And David gathered all Israel together to Jerusalem to bring up the ark of the Lord unto his place, which he had prepared for it. And David assembled the children of Aaron and the Levites and the sons of Kohath, which were the ones that were to carry the ark. Uriel, the chief of his brother. I'm not going to go through all these. It's just a list of the guys that were going to take care of the ark. But if we go down to, where is it? 13. Verse 13. Thanks, Jim. And for because ye did it not at the first, and the Lord our God made a breach upon us, that we sought him not after the due order. So the priests and the Levites sanctified themselves to bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel, and the children of the Levites bear the ark of God upon their shoulders, with the staves thereon, as Moses commanded according to the word of the Lord. David spake unto the chief of the Levites to appoint their brethren to be singers, with instruments of music, psalteries and harps and cymbals sounding, and lifting up their voice with joy. So we know then, of course, that they did bring it into Jerusalem, and he did it the way God intended him to do it. So it's very important, and not just where we walk and what we do, but how we do it. You know, we want to make sure that we're doing the things that the Lord wants us to do, and we do them in the way he wants us to do them. David would write later on, and I would assume it was later. I'm not sure about that. I shouldn't presume that. But Psalm 37:23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. And then one of mom's verses, you know, tells me is Psalm 32:8, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go, I will guide thee with mine eye. So, you know, I mean, it's really important for us to be cognizant of how God wants us to walk and what he wants us to do. And I had a couple more points, but if I keep talking, I'm just not going to get through the other four, so we'll stop on that one right there. The next one is to keep. It says to keep his commandments. Now, the word keep means to observe, to pay regard to take care of, to maintain in good order, which I like that last one, to maintain in good order. You know, keeping his commandments maintains us in good order. I'm not talking just the Ten Commandments. I'm talking all the commandments, all that he tells us in this word. That's what keeps our Christian life and our walk before him in good order. You know, what kind of things do we keep? You know, what kind of things do we do at home, you know, at our workplace? You know, Clint mentioned some difficulties at work. And, you know, I can really sympathize with that. It's, you know, when you're out in the workplace, especially in factories and things, that's where I've been most of my life, it's difficult. You know, it's difficult to keep your testimony the way you should. You know, and I can honestly say I've really tried to here, and it's difficult sometimes, but, you know, and I get teased a little bit, you know, because right now we're on these 12-hour shifts, and I'm stuck working Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. You know, eventually I'll be able to move to the end of the week, so I'll be able to come to the chapel here on Sunday mornings. But, you know, people ask me, well, why don't you want to work on Sundays? I said, because I like to go to church. You know, I like to, you know, spend time with the people that mean the most to me, you know, and fellowship with them on Sunday morning. And, you know, and you get a little teased, but you know what? People respect that. I think they really do. You know, I get called a preacher once in a while now at work, but that's all right, you know. Anyways, you know, what do we keep in our hearts? What do we keep at our homes? What, you know, physically and spiritually, you know, what do we do? And I like Jude, the book of Jude, verse 6, it talks about the angels that kept not their first estate. You know, but they're held in chains for in darkness unto judgment, you know, because they kept not their first estate. They went after things they shouldn't have, and they fell once with Satan. And, you know, even though we're saved, even though we, you know, if we know the Lord Jesus Christ is our Savior, we still struggle with the old nature every day. You know, and we have that potential for evil inside of us continually. You know, I always, you know, we're like two personalities, if you will, in a sense. You know, I mean, we're constantly struggling. You know, the new nature is constantly struggling with the old nature. And, I mean, it's our job to suppress that old nature, you know, and we can do that by through prayer, through reading of God's Word, and by, you know, keeping His commandments. And to keep His commandments is very important. Look at the book of Acts. Chapter 4, actually, is. The story's in chapter 5, but I'm going to read the end of chapter 4. This is the story of people that didn't keep faithful to the way they should have, and it's Ananias and Sapphira. If we look at chapter 4, though, just as a lead into this, it was like a common group of Christians right then. They all shared their belongings, and verse 34 says, neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according to as he had need. Now we go to chapter 5, verse 1. It says, but a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost, and great fear came upon all of them that heard these things. And of course we know that about 3 hours later his wife comes in and says the same thing, and she dies on the spot. And you know, it's because they didn't keep their word. They did the wrong thing. They could have sold that land and given any amount of that to the church. They didn't have to give the whole thing, but they lied. They didn't keep the faith that, you know, and keep what's the word I'm looking for? Anyways, they didn't do what they were deceitful. That's the word I'm looking for. And you know, they said they gave all of it and they didn't, and paid with their lives as a result. You know, greed, pride, trying to impress others. I don't know. There's a lot of things that cause us to keep the wrong things in our hearts. It's just a you know, Matthew 6:19, you know, we're supposed to lay up treasure in heaven, not treasure on earth. You know, to keep our treasures in heaven. You know, it says where our treasure is, there our heart be also. Then the next two is to cleave. This one I've told Mom, I said I was looking through this and I almost changed the whole thing just before I got here, but I added a couple little points that I thought were interesting, just came into my head. Cleave is a really interesting word. There's probably other words like it in the English language, but I suppose you could think of a few. But cleave means exact opposites. You know, it can describe cleaving to something, and it can also describe cleaving apart. And, you know, I don't know how many of words are like that, but, you know, looking it up, and, you know, from the one side, it means to divide, to sever, to split, to disunite. And on the other side, it's to adhere to cling to be faithful, and to stick to. And, of course, in Joshua 22:5, it says to cleave unto him, or which would imply that we've to stick to. To stick to our Lord. The one thought that came into my head this evening was that cleaving, if we try to do both, if we try to live in the world and if we try to live for the Lord, you're not cleaving to either. If you try to cleave to the world, you can't cleave to the Lord. If you try to cleave to the Lord, you can't cleave to the world. And it's instability. And I think of Reuben. In Genesis 49, verse 3, 4, somewhere in there, he says that Jacob is blessing the sons before he dies. And he says, you know, Reuben, my oldest, this is my paraphrase version without looking it all up, but he, you know, Reuben had gone into his father's concubine when he was a younger man, and, you know, and he says, Reuben, unstable as water. That's how Jacob describes his son, unstable as water. And I think of, what that makes me think of is the book of James. I don't have to look that up. Chapter 1, verse 8, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And, you know, Reuben was a double-minded man. He did, you know, he's one of the 12, one of the heads of the tribes, yet he was also doing, you know, sinning, doing things that he shouldn't have been doing. You can't do both. And I think cleaving describes that well. You know, we can't adhere to God and try to live in the world. You just can't do it, and not be happy, anyways. And we need to be faithful. If we're going to live for the Lord, we have to do it completely. We have to live 100% for Him. I know that's difficult. I know we don't do that, you know, but we need to make the effort to do that. You know, I mean, the ways of the world, if we try to walk in both, the ways of the world are going to win, more than likely, at least for a while. You know, I know that from first-hand experience, you know, that the world will win out because it's real easy to do the things of the world. It's not so easy to do the things that the Lord wants us to do. But, you know, how do we stay close to the Lord? You know, of course, you have to know Christ as your Savior first, obviously. I mean, you need to. You know, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I think one thing that, real important thing, of course, is fellowship with other believers. That's how, you know, that helps us to stay in close with the Lord and the things that He wants us to do. And I can tell you, I really miss not being here on Sundays. I really do. I mean, you know, it doesn't affect my work. Work goes on like normal, you know, and everything, but it does affect your spiritual psyche a little bit, you know. I think, you know, I mean, when I'm at work, I'm thinking, you know, where I really would rather be. And I can honestly say that, you know, from about 9 o'clock till about noon, I'm thinking, you know, where I really would rather be instead of running around watching fruit juice get put in the bottles, you know. But anyways, prayer, of course, you know, one of the foundations, you know, of keeping ourselves close to Him. Is to pray and talk with Him. I'm glad I just said that, talk with Him. You know, prayer sometimes sounds almost too formal, you know. I mean, there are times for that, but I think it's important that we talk to God. Talk to Him on a daily basis. Talk to Him when you're in the supermarket. Talk to them when I spend a lot of my time driving back and forth to work doing that because it's a convenient time, you know. I mean, but there's, you know, we shouldn't wait for convenient times either. There's any time is the right time to talk to God. You know, I think jotted down here, perhaps the quickest way to fall away or to not grow is to neglect the Scriptures. Another foundation is we have to stay in the Word. I tell my kids that. I tell all of them that. I said, you guys, you know, if you want to learn, you want to, you know, want to make it easier on yourself as far as following the Lord, stay, read the Bible. Stay in the, you know, and some of you kids out there, I'm telling you, learn to do that as a young person, to stay in the Word, to read God's Word. You know, the story of Josiah, you know, when they, and the reforms that they were doing after, you know, the litany of kings that were so evil, and Josiah comes up and he tells these guys to go into the temple, I think, and they were going to, you know, they were going to start rebuilding, cleaning it up, and they found the book of the law. And they brought it to him, and he tore his clothes and sackcloth and ashes and the whole works and, you know, was distraught. He says, this is why we've had so much trouble. We haven't read the law. So he got everybody together, and they that's what they did. They read the law. You know, how important it is to stay in the Word. I mean, it's so easy to drift if we don't do that. So cleaving to Him in the positive sense of sticking to Him, we have to stick to Him, to adhere to the things that He wants us to adhere to. And to serve. I'm running out of time. I'm going to hurry up here. To serve Him with all your heart and with all your soul. Psalm 100, we sing that sometimes, to serve the Lord with gladness. You know, think of Moses, right in this verse. It says, take diligent heed to do the commandment of the law, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you. You know, who do we serve? You know, it says we can't serve God and mammon, or, you know, the money or the world. You know, I mentioned that already. Exodus 33:11, you know, Moses was the friend of God. Can we be called a friend of God? Does God call us His friend? You know, I mean, we need to serve us as, I always heard that statement is true, you can't be a great leader unless you're willing to be a servant. You know, and we need to serve Him and serve each other and take care of each other. I like Genesis 24, and I'm not going to read that. I was going to read this, but it's a story where Abraham sends Eliezer out to find a bride for Isaac. You know, and he charges him. You know, in verse 2, we see that it states that he's his eldest servant. So he's got longstanding trust, and he's got a place of honor in Abraham's house. He was the head servant. I like the fact that Eliezer in that chapter is not mentioned by name, and I've heard this before, but, you know, it's the fact that self is not important. It was important that he carried out his task. Verse 9 in Genesis 24, Abraham had him promise to obey. You know, he said, place your hand under my thigh and promise me that you'll, you know, he wanted him to find a wife of his own kind. It was a sworn oath, and that's how we serve. You know, we have to be trustworthy. We have to swear an oath of allegiance to our Lord. Verse 33 and 34, Eliezer mentioned that he's Abraham's servant. He thinks only of his master's wishes. You know, are we doing that? Are we thinking of God's wishes for us? Or are we thinking of things that we want to do? And then verse 56 of Genesis 24 says that he was about his master's business. He said, hinder me not. You know, he was ready to leave and take Rebecca back. And he says, hinder me not. Don't make sure we don't let things get in the way of what God wants us to do and what His will is for us. You know, I think of the flip side of that coin, think of Achan. You know, Achan was, his name means troubler. You know, he was the troubler of Israel. Because he wasn't serving. He was serving himself. He wasn't serving God, right? He wasn't serving the greater good of the children of Israel. He was only concerned about some clothes and a wedge of gold, you know, and he buried in his tent. And, of course, we know the story that they went out to conquer Ai and they got beat because Achan troubled Israel with his greed. So who do we serve? You know, I mean, it's important. I mean, we live in a great country, you know, where we're capable of having possessions and a lot of things, and that's fine. But, you know, do we serve the possessions, or we serve the one who allowed us to have the possessions? And I think we need to really, really weigh that. So that's to serve. And the last one, of course, is the first one, and that's to love. And all I'll really say about this, because the time is just about gone, is that to me, all of the other four are wrapped up in the love. You know, you can't do any of the others if you don't love, if you don't love him, if you don't love each other. You know, I was going to read 1 Corinthians 13 because I really like that, the love chapter, but, you know, we know what it says. It says the greatest of all those things that he mentions there is love. You know, and Deuteronomy 6, I will read that because Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, it's the Shema, as they call it, the hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. And in a parallel to that, in Matthew 22, where the Lord's, you know, the lawyer asks him, "What's the greatest commandment?" And that's what he quotes. You know, we can't do any of those things, our walk, our service, you know, to keep ourselves close to him, to cleave to him, if we don't love him. You know, if we don't, and of course we can't do that if we don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. So just a few thoughts. I hope they were beneficial. I really enjoyed that verse, and let's just close in prayer.